Now, by 2030, artificial intelligence is expected to boost the global economy by nearly $16 trillion. The technology is increasingly becoming more popular in everyday life, providing practical solutions for existing challenges. Sisonke Mgwebi, consultant at Frost & Sullivan, joins us to look at how innovators are harnessing the power of AI in Africa. Thank you so much for your time. So, where do we actually stand in terms of AI adoption in Africa?
We do have a limit, right? We do have limitations when it comes to access to quality data. We don't have enough of like written data or digital, like digitized data. Infrastructure is a bit difficult, but we do have innovators, especially in the fintech. So financial, like technology, that's a huge thing when it comes to remittances with people sending money from abroad back home. So AI exists mostly right now in fintech and in health tech, but it is pulling across through other industries.
So Zunga, let's talk about, you know, AI and just the development. We talk about the potential and it being groundbreaking for GDP and so on. But in Africa, what we do have is a poverty problem. We have a jobs problem. And I'm wondering what the conversation is like about the balance between this and AI.
I think something that's interesting, the job market is really going to change. I was actually listening to a podcast recently about how AI jobs, we need more data science specialists or like machine learning specialists. And yes, it can be something that is very basic when it comes to like annotating AI information or text or images or whatever information that the large language model needs. Then there's annotators, and then it grows a like beyond that. So there's potentials of jobs that will be created to feed into AI to help and solve any problem. So job creation is part of the conversation when it comes to tech. It's always a little bit iffy because no one knows where it goes, but it's there.
Yeah. So if I'm getting you right, is that although we do have these structural challenges in Africa that hamper economic growth, AI won't necessarily be distracting from those, but instead it will be one of the fixes?
It will be a way to get the youth, because we do have a large population that is going to outgrow, I think, four times the rest of the globe by 2050. So we have a lot of people coming into, and we'll have a large youth. So those people need jobs, and we are able to, if we do now, I know universities, there's a lot of higher education like spaces that do cater to teaching people more about tech, AI, technology, trying to harness and get that skilled labor with the youth that we've got. So I think it is one of the beneficiaries, yes.
Let's talk, Sonke, about infrastructure and the rollout of 5G, where we are in terms of that and how important, you know, the efficient rollout of these infrastructure developments will be for AI to be as beneficial as we hope it will be.
It is very important to make sure that the bandwidth and the technology and the access and the ability to use it is as efficient as possible. Obviously, it will be difficult in the more inland and more rural areas to get that infrastructure going. But I think if we do have it on the outskirts and the hubs, it will somewhat like filter in into the like with the types of companies that will build from that with the rollout of 5G and then their use of it. They'll be able to build more efficient software that is at a lower tech, say 3G, that can be like let out into the more rural areas of Africa.
All right, let's go back actually to that jobs market. You talk about the need for more machine learning specialists and how there is teaching in some areas of that in university. But what about the people that are already in the job market that are not still learning? Because as we talk about that in the energy transition, it needs to be just. It also needs to be the same as we're transitioning to artificial intelligence. So how do we make sure that it is just and no one in the job market gets left behind?
I think it's twofold, right? Mm-hmm. First, the company themselves understanding how can we use this technology and leverage it to make our value proposition better for our client base, right? But then how do we then teach our employees what are the skills we need from them with regards to AI, machine learning, all of this, right? But then also it's on onus of the individual. You have to understand that everyone's roles are changing. Like everybody is going through this change. So I think it's important for both parties to kind of work together to understand, okay, this is what I want to learn. Is it relevant to you? And be like, yes or no, and have that discussion.
Okay, let's talk about the economic potential of GDP. I mean, of AI, what it could do to GDP, for instance. That's, of course, all things are going well. Just talk about that.
So a lot of that growth will be from improved or efficiencies in production, right? So you're able to produce goods, make sure that, say, logistics is good. Food security is something that's very cumbersome in our continent right now, maybe when it comes to roads or finding the communities that need the food or being able to just get a product to someone's plate, right, from farm to your fork. But with AI, we're able to better improve those systems, understand better like routes, logistics, ways to fix the roads, come up with like contingency plans over time, it will be better. So I think there's things like that when it comes to AI that it really helps Africa with just the fundamentals, getting food to yourself, making sure that you just live, so healthcare. So there's so many things right now that are in use and potential uses of AI that we can do to make sure that it improves just the well-being of a person. And if they work better, the GDP increases. They're more efficient at work, everything. So AI is more of a efficiency creator than a job replacer.
All right, let's talk about the regulatory landscape. It seems that AI regulation isn't really something the world has figured out quite yet. I mean, we're even seeing bans on some AI applications in some countries. So, how is that looking like in Africa?
So surprisingly, when it comes to more developed countries, they are more harsh when it comes to AI. They don't know what's happening and they don't want to know what's happening. Versus where here in Africa, because of the, don't want to say lack of like worry, but it's like people are more open to using it because we need to find ways. We need to be resourceful as a continent. So when it comes to legislation, it's more promoting. It's less like clamping down and trying to hinder the things that could happen with AI, which is twofold. Yes, it's a good thing to happen, but we still are trying to understand this technology. So I think as we get more people to understand and learn and read about it, you and I need to learn about it. And so we can understand better how does this potentially affect us now or in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon and for your insights. That was Sonke Mqwebi from Frost & Sullivan.